This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Kicking off hour number two of Three and Out, Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Houston Crest, Davey Hudson, Adam Hickman on the board today. Pressing buttons, messing with dials, running the computer things.
Playing fire.
A lot of people hate Creed. I don't hate Creed. I don't love Creed as much as some people. But I have absolutely nothing bad to say about Creed.
I'm hearing that the Barstool Bowl game is still planning on happening, and they still plan on having Scott in attendance.
That's the best news I've gotten. I mean, it's early, but that's the best news I've gotten all day. That's great.
Because they were joking about it, because somebody – it's funny. I guess a lot of people just think we kind of have a similar style, but they'll just send me random clips of Big Cat. If someone's like, hey, you said something along those lines, but something about Big Cat joking about making weight for – he's wanting to jump out of an airplane to do the national anthem.
Yeah.
To like skydive into the stadium. But he's got to make a certain weight because he's not going to be able to have time to learn how to do it himself. So he's going to be strapped in with somebody.
And there's a weight limit if you want to do it with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what the – to do it solo, I think you have to have – it's like 10 jumps with somebody before you get a chance to do it yourself.
I never plan on going skydiving.
I'd like to do it once. I don't know if I actually got up in the plane and it was time to jump if I could, but that's why you do it with an expert the first couple of times.
Risk reward's just not there for me.
I don't know. They say it's pretty exhilarating. They say it's...
Again, risk reward.
Right, but the reward is the exhilaration, and they say it's pretty good. Hickman, you got any hookups in P-Forge, Gatlinburg area for some skydiving? Don't they do some of that from up there?
I do know a couple of guys who are instructors. They're certified.
Damn. This is it. Does that need to be on next year's SEC Survivor?
Go skydiving.
The punishment? Go skydiving?
You literally do have to survive.
Well, I mean, what better thing for the game than an actual survival type moment? Are you doing fantasy over there? Really? Are you looking at your fantasy team right now?
Yeah.
On a Tuesday?
Yeah.
Breaking that down?
It's waivers.
You know, we're doing this thing called a radio show, and you're worried about your fantasy?
I'm doing a pretty good job of
When do your waivers go through? Wednesday?
Yeah, sometime like between like 2 and 4 a.m.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Don't tomorrow. Well, good. I'm glad that you're...
It's tonight in my book.
I'm glad you're fully focused on what we got going on here. That's fantastic. How's your team? You doing all right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Since you ask it, 1 through 7 are tied at 4 and 3.
A good even league.
And I have the most points of the top 7.
So you're technically in first.
Technically, yes. Playoffs started today, I'd have the 1 seed.
This was my bye week hell. I had to bench Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. I started Zach Wilson. He had 4 points. And Jared Goff. And I lost late last night because DK Metcalf scored a long touchdown. And the Seahawks did not score enough to take enough points away from the Saints defense. So I lost to the number one team in the league on my bye week hell, which is fitting that I had to play him on that week. But it's okay.
Well,
we press forward. We move on.
I was looking at the targets because it's a fun
That's a key. Targets are key.
A lot of people are
they look
like,
at yardage.
Oh, no, they just look at points in general.
That's terrible.
And I'm like, well, you can't really just factor in how much of that is have they been lucky. They've gotten just a lot of touchdowns, and it's great to have a red zone threat or somebody that's just able to get into the end zone. But over time, that's not going to hold up statistically.
There are some running backs that have, but crumb snatchers, they are it's live by them, die by them. I forget the running back's name for years. He was there in Minnesota. And when AP would get banged up, there was one game because I was
Toby
in the
Gerhardt?
No, it was a different guy. I was in the fantasy football playoffs and I had to start him because another guy of mine got hurt and he had 4 carries, 3 touchdowns. And I won that week and ended up winning the whole league. It was like a 200 team league and I won the whole thing.
I was really high on the Rams going into this year. I figured with an actual quarterback, they might, was and Sean McVay at the helm, they were going to be really good.
I mean, they're really good.
Well, they are. But I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, I was super high on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, safe bet.
The guy, I mean, is like Jamar Chase is second in fantasy points at the receiver mm-hmm. position.
Yeah.
Like Cooper's still a game above him. Like, Jamar Chase is like 30 points behind Cooper Kupp in a half PPR.
Same amount of games played?
I don't think the Bengals have had a bye. I know the Rams haven't.
Okay. Yeah, Cooper Kupp.
He's got 81 targets on the year so far.
That's insane. Because Jamar Chase actually passed Cooper Kupp for season leader in receiving yardage earlier in the day, and then Cooper took it back in the late window game. Because he's pretty damn good.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you watch that game, by the way, the Rams-Lions game? Did you catch any of that?
No. I was keeping up with it on my phone, but I wasn't able to watch. I know like the Lions were sending.
Yeah, 2 fake punts, an onside kick to start the game. I was kind of rooting for the Lions, A, to get their first win, and I just liked the way they played that game. But when you got Matthew Stafford, Robert Woods, I think Van Jefferson had a touchdown, and then obviously Cooper Kupp was absolutely insane. I feel bad for Jerry. They got no weapons in Detroit.
No. I mean, like Khalif Raymond, who has played for the Titans the last couple of years.
He's like their best player on offense right now.
Yeah,
from skill position. Yeah.
I mean, DeAndre Swift definitely up there, and they got the Williams kid who's they're hoping turns into something. But yeah, it's slim pickings up in Detroit right now. Whenever you look at that roster, and it's going to be rough. I mean, there's conversation that Jared Goff, like he's a one and done in Detroit, which is crazy.
His decision or Detroit's decision?
Detroit's decision. It's just not been good. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know who could do that. I mean, obviously, there are quarterbacks who would be better. There's just not a lot for any quarterback to deal with in Detroit. I actually thought Jared Goff played a fine game on Sunday until the fourth quarter. I think he threw 2 picks in the fourth. So that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, right now, the big thing, though, in the NFL is what's going to happen for the Thursday night game because Davante Adams landed.
I was just about to bring that up.
On the COVID-19 list.
That was the big news yesterday. I believe that broke during the pregame stuff for Monday Night Football. Yeah. Schefter came on and broke the news. Or I guess it might have broken a little bit before that, but that was the first place anyone got to really talk about it. But yes, Davante Adams gets placed on the COVID-19 list. I believe he could be cleared to play if he has a negative test today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The problem is, well, A, it's a short week, which is, you know, it is what it is. It's also a road trip to Arizona, and I believe they would leave, and they'd leave, what, today or tomorrow? Maybe later today, early tomorrow? I mean, I guess it's possible he could get 2 negative tests and fly down separately, but with a short week, you got to kind of be on your P's and Q's. I know he and Aaron Rodgers have a great relationship and good chemistry and everything, but that seems pretty tough. Schefter also teased last night during the Monday Night Football preview that we may get some more names added today to the Green Bay COVID-19 list. I believe that game opened up. Cardinals were a 2.5-point favorite. It is now up to 6.
I saw it at 3.5.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I thought it opened at 2.5. It might have been 3.5. But yeah, the Cardinals now 6-point favorite according to FanDuel, over under 51.5. Cardinals only undefeated team remaining in the NFL. I keep waiting for them to kind of have a slip up game. I realized this past weekend probably was never going to be that game. They keep finding ways to win. Kyler Murray keeps running around, making plays. They've had a couple, they got their staples, right? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, very, very good. They go and get Zach Ertz from Philly.
I was wrong. He made it a play. I wasn't expecting much from him.
He didn't just make a play. That was his longest receiving touchdown in his NFL career. Philly only ever used him as a red zone tight end and a short yardage target. He gets his longest touchdown of his career in his first game with, I believe that was his first game, right? First or second?
Yeah, he got traded last week.
Yeah, so first game with the Cardinals. They remain undefeated. Their defense... defense is good. They're not as good as they looked in week one against the Titans. I don't know what Chandler Jones has done since then. You mentioned it was pretty easy going up against Taylor Lewan. Titans offensive line actually looked better without him this past week. Not so much in the run game, but pass protection was a lot better. How many times was Tannehill sacked this last weekend? I feel like it wasn't that many.
One.
And it was zero against the Bills, correct?
Yes, zero against the Bills, one against the Chiefs, and it came right before the end of the first half. Knocked back that Randy Bullock field goal attempt where it ended up being a 51-yarder. But Ryan took a bad sack there.
Did he make that field goal?
Yeah. He was perfect for...
Has he missed a field goal since
he's... Yeah, he's missed two.
Okay.
He missed the one for it to be a tie against the Jets.
Ah, yes, that's
right. And
then
there was another one.
You said it, and a lot of people have agreed, Titans play to their level of competition, which is...
Well, last week they didn't.
Sunday?
Sunday, yeah.
Well, they played to, I guess, what they thought the level of competition should be. The Chiefs, unfortunately, offered little to no competition, zero resistance, as the Titans... I mean, I feel like they could have named their number the way they were moving the ball early. I love the game plan. They came out so aggressive. Have you seen the side angle of Derrick Henry's touchdown toss?
Like, where it would be him, and like, I guess you could see him going up over the line?
Yeah.
I actually haven't seen that.
So, they motioned Tannehill to the top of the screen.
He was wide open.
And who was the other receiver? Was that Reynolds up there? They were both wide open.
Yeah.
It was funny. Derrick Henry, obviously, the whole point is to fake the direct snap run, pop over and throw the touchdown to, was that Swaim or was that
Pruitt?
Michael Pruitt. Obviously, it worked. It doesn't matter. But if he just catches the ball and looks left, he's got two guys wide open for a touchdown.
Yep.
But, hey, make it a little more difficult. I feel so bad. Really, I'm just upset. So, last year before the season, I think I put $20 on Derrick Henry to win MVP last year.
Get close.
It was like 20 to win. I think you did this, too. We talked about this, right? Did you put money down on that? I put 20 down to win. I was like $800 or something. It was a crazy bet. It looks like I might have just been a year early.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like through an actual site. I did have a side bet with a friend about him.
Oh, I did it on FanDuel. Yeah. He was plus before the season. It was plus like 15,000. I mean, trying to get rich.
Running back. I know, like Kyler Murray's kind of still at the top. Josh Allen's up there.
Tom Brady.
Not this year. Not for MVP. Not right now. Although he did.
He's leading the league in touchdowns and passing yards.
I know, but it's Tom Brady, and he kind of just does that. It's not anything really special. I'm not saying he's not a very good player. He's obviously, you know, he's up there. But this feels like a year you might get the old pass credit if you're Derrick Henry. Like, obviously, you get the extra game this year, but if he goes over 2,000 and the Titans, you know, make the playoffs as they should, it feels like that might be the, you know, this guy doing this 2 years in a row, because no running back's ever done that.
No.
Based on the amount of touches he had the year before to do what he's doing this year. I know the Chiefs did a pretty good job stopping him in the run game, but did he just have the one? Did he have a rushing touchdown or just the
passing
touchdown?
He just had a passing touchdown.
Yeah, he didn't have a rushing one this week.
Well, they say it's a quarterback award, so what does Derrick Henry do? He says, huh, watch this. Hold this while I throw this touchdown. Genius.
Yeah, odds right now, Josh Allen's actually leading the MVP odds at plus 300. Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray are tied for second at 450, plus 450. But
say that again?
Allen leading the way, plus 300. Prescott and Murray, plus 450.
And where's Derek?
Derek is – it's kind of crazy. They actually have Derek Carr ahead of Derek where it's at.
That's a mistake.
It's just it's just quarterback after quarterback. So I'll just go through the list. Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, then Derek Henry. Derek Henry at plus 2,300.
That still might be a pretty good bet, really. Plus 2,300.
Ryan Tannehill actually has a lot better odds than other – Ryan Tannehill and Cooper Kupp are both at plus 10,000. Pat Mahomes plus 5,000. He ain't winning it this year, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. How many turnovers does he have at this point? Is he up to 9 turnovers through this point in the season? Because he had the pick early. Did he throw two picks? And then he had the fumble late?
I think he has more than that. I know his interception ratio is 2-1 right now, and this time last year it was 16-1.
Whew.
I think he's got 18 touchdowns and 9 interceptions this year.
Okay, let me just say this. It's very hard to do what he did in his first year as a starter. Obviously, that was his second year. Very hard to do. And it's very hard to do what he did last year. Well, not quite as good, but you know, they get back to this. How does this team drop off that bad? I know they lost a lot on the offensive line, but their offensive line has not been that bad. You still have Tyreek Hill. You still have Mecole Hardman. You still have Travis Kelce.
Well, the offense hadn't been that bad. I mean, if you look at their scores.
Their defense is terrible.
Yeah, if you look at their scores, I mean, they've been in the 30s
You say
lot.
That, but they scored 3 points, bro. Against
this,
the Titans.
I mean, this game has been, like, this is the worst. That was the worst game Andy Reid's had as a head coach of the Chiefs.
Right.
Obviously, the worst game in Patrick Mahomes' tenure as an NFL quarterback.
I believe I saw the stat during the game. That was the, they were tied with the Patriots for, it was either touchdowns in a first half or touchdowns in a game, like a streak of having at least one in the first half, or maybe it was one in the game, and obviously that got snapped.
But the biggest thing for them right now is they can't generate a pass rush, and their perimeter's just awful. So quarterbacks have had all day in the NFL. We know if you have plenty of time, the receivers are, like the game's tailored to the offense. They're going to have time. They've just been able to outscore the Chiefs. Mahomes, I think he believes he is having to play, having to constantly go hero mode and not playing within the system. And by doing that, he's forcing a lot more turnovers. It's not helping that his receivers have also dropped a lot that have then been tipped up. And caught. I mean, like the one interception that Rashawn Evans had,
right.
Like his receiver just dropped it. Now, I will say David Great Long play. Jr. was in good position to where it wasn't going to be an easy catch. But the big thing, I've talked about it time and time again, when you look at teams that lose in the Super Bowl, very few teams are able to bounce back the next year and play at the level we're accustomed to seeing that team play. I don't view this as a situation. A lot of the people are talking about, oh, well, Mahomes, you know, he got that new contract, so they're not able to spend the money elsewhere and shore up the rest of the
I mean, it was just
units.
Half a billion dollars.
I get it, but from a cap standpoint, like, it's not been – like, they don't have other playmakers. And while he is taking up a larger percent of the cap, if you do look at their issues, it's not necessarily just because of that.
It's not going to get any easier. Next 7 weeks, they have the Raiders twice. They have the Packers, they have the Cowboys, and then they have the Chargers at the end of that stretch. Now, just looking at them now, you
give those
expect.
Teams one more time. I know you said Packers, Cowboys, Chargers.
Packers, Cowboys, Chargers, and they're going to have the Raiders twice in that 7 week stretch.
Raiders aren't bad. Raiders 2-0 since old Gruden got gone.
They're 5-2, and right now, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be the 2 seed in the AFC. Titans, Raiders, and Bengals are all tied at 5-2 atop the AFC.
Given how things sit now, I would expect the Chiefs to at least drop two of those games. I mean, the Raiders have had their number lately.
I'm sitting on a bet that I'm likely going to cash out after this week, and it was because part of the bet relies on the Chiefs winning their division. And right now, I just think the Chargers are going to ultimately come out on top. I know the Raiders are playing well. I still, at the end of the day, don't think they're better than the Chargers, and the Chargers are ultimately going to reign supreme for the AFC West this season. But if the Chiefs can beat the Giants on Monday Night Football, which, talk about a woof game.
If they lose that one,
they're done.
It's going to get bad. Because, I mean, they're at 3-4. Like, if you do go and you look at the standings, it's also crazy. I think a lot of people, you know, okay, best way to say this. Now the preseason is pretty much a joke in that used to you would see more of the starters just trying to get a little bit more of the reps.
Oh, yeah, the final game was a first half dress rehearsal, sure.
You don't have that anymore. And I think you're starting to see September become more of the preseason in a way. Now you look at the extra game being added to the schedule, teams realize, all right, there's a little bit more leeway.
True.
Whenever you're like, all right, more opportunities. And so if you do drop one, it hurts, but it's not end of the
You can
world.
Make it up, yeah.
I mean, it's not like college football. You got 12 games, usually you lose one, you're out of the playoffs.
Lose one, it's going to be tough. You lose two, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the standings right now, the NFC, very top heavy. You look at the conference, you got the best teams in the league right now, I'd say, are the Cardinals, the Bucks, the Packers, and the Rams. Dallas is also right up there. I still would like to see them play some better competition. We'll see what they have coming up. When you look at it, they hadn't exactly beat anybody that's been good outside of the Chargers. But if you do look at the AFC, just a much different story where you got a bunch of teams at 5-2, 4-2, and then the 3-4 range. So a lot can happen, but obviously we know who the bottom dwellers are at this point and who's pretty much eliminated.
Like, no, we're just getting heated up, though.
Here's, like, I'm going to go ahead and give you who's eliminated so far. I'll start in the NFC. Detroit, done. 0-7. They ain't coming back.
Yeah, safe bet there. I don't see 10 straight wins for the Lions. That's a safe call.
Seattle, I'm going to go ahead and write them off just based off injuries. Even if Russell comes back, it's going to be a long stretch. I mean, they're 2-5.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough.
At least week 10, they don't necessarily have they have a good easy game.
A win
next
last
week.
Night would have really. I mean, stealing that one.
Yeah.
You know, obviously without Russell at home like that, they needed to steal that one.
They'll likely win next week. They play the Jaguars. But after that, they got the Packers and the Cardinals.
Yo, tough.
So maybe Russell can come back and they're able to do something because I think they do have a bye week in there. But I'm writing off the Giants, the Eagles, the football team, and the 49ers. They're done. So that's, what, six teams so far? Six teams are eliminated in my book. Then for the AFC, Houston's done. Miami's done. Jacksonville's done. The Jets are done. I'm going to go ahead. They still have a chance, but I'm going to say Denver's done.
Yeah, they're done.
So,
and if they're not done, they're done because they're just not very good.
It's 11 teams.
They were one of those overhyped 3-0 teams that you see every year where it's like, are these guys really good? No, they just haven't played anybody.
That kind of like goes back to my point of like September is the new preseason where it's like you see those teams that start great, but it's like, well, they haven't played anybody. And then once they actually start playing some competition, you figure out they don't really have much at the quarterback position. It's not gonna go well for them.
Titans travel to Indianapolis this weekend for a matchup against the Colts. Colts took a nice little Sunday nighter in a downpour. Let's talk a little bit about that game on the other side. We'll hit a quick break. More 3-and-out after this. Hour two rolls on, 3-and-out in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. If you want to give us a call on the G3 Help Me Hotline, feel free to do so. 865-546-8200 is the number. Teased it before the break there. Titans at Colts, Dave. Thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Initial thoughts. I'm sure you're going to break down this game ad nauseum on your other other platforms here, but Titans open as a 1.5-point favorite, over under a 49.5. First quarter spread, Titans minus half a point, according to FanDuel Sportsbook and FanDuel.com.
Yeah, actually, I haven't paid too much attention to Titans first quarter lines.
Yeah, it's no Josh Heupel line.
And it's not. It's weird because, I mean, for the NFL, it's really just a kind of filling each other out. And it's like we talk about the parity amongst the NFL. It's just weird. I just don't feel too confident in those bets versus, like, I understand Josh Heupel's really able to out-scheme a lot of people, and so that's why he gets those points early. But for this game, obviously, a lot of implications for the AFC South because it is down to these two teams. Titans currently.
Safe to say, with the Jags at 1-5 and the Texans now at 1-6 after the loss over the weekend.
Yeah, those two teams aren't going to be doing much. What's funny, though, real quick, is that the Texans don't have any first-round picks. Now they might once they deal Deshaun Watson, but the fact that they're terrible and then can't do anything about it.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien fleecing all the first-round picks and then getting fired and going to Alabama. And then obviously all the stuff with Deshaun. Things are not well in Houston.
Not at all. But
unless you're talking baseball.
Right now. Yeah,
that's cheaters.
Tonight. Sorry, not tonight. That's for the baseball one. But for this Sunday at 1 o'clock,
yes.
Titans do go on the road to Indy. Last time they were
short
able to
little
win
trip,
up there.
Nothing to it.
Yeah.
Did they bust to that one or they fly? You know?
They'll fly.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll fly. But right now, the biggest thing for the Titans is just trying to stay healthy. They have a lot of guys that once they do get them back out there, I expect the defense to be even better, even though they were able to shut down the Chiefs. I'm still not that high on Carson Wentz. He's playing a little bit better as of late.
He's playing better.
I don't know if you watched the Sunday night game.
I did.
It's really hard to get a feel for how good anybody is after playing in that monsoon. Obviously, the confines of Lucas Oil. You don't have to really worry about that.
Atmospheric river.
Yeah.
And then last night we had the something bomb. Typhoon bomb. I don't know. West Coast weather, right? Weather all across the country.
Check in with Frankie McDonald. See what he has to say about it.
Big snow in Nova Scotia.
But the Titans, they were able to put some things together this past week. They didn't really have to rely on a great game from Derrick Henry. Last year, when you do look at the Titans versus the Colts, first game, Titans had a good first half, but then really struggled in the second half, had a lot of special teams mistakes, and just were not able to be consistent in the ground game. Second game, the Colts had a couple of guys on that interior of the defensive line out. Here is the kicker, though. Last year, the Colts had DeNico Autry on their defensive line. This year, DeNico's on the Titans' defensive line, and he's been the biggest – I would say he's been the biggest acquisition so far for the team. He is playing great opposite Jeffrey Simmons, and we're seeing Bud Dupree and Harold Landry be able to get to the quarterback, so that's helped a whole lot for the Titans in generating a pass rush. Colts much different. They're going to actually be trying to establish the run game with Jonathan Taylor, who
was pretty good until this past weekend.
He's a solid back.
And surprised in the rain that they didn't lean a little bit more on the running game. But
whatever. I can't remember if he had fumble issues going back to his time at Wisconsin or not. Mm. I mean, he was obviously a really good running back. But yeah,
I take that back. He was actually pretty good. 18 carries, 107 yards. Not bad.
Okay. Well, I thought, did he have any fumbles? I think that was the biggest thing. It was just, but again, I think everyone was struggling with ball security in that game.
Yeah. I mean, it was a monsoon. Yeah. He did have two fumbles and lost one of them, though.
That's what I thought. That's you know what these two teams are going to try to do. They're going to try to establish the run. But if I'm the Titans right now, Colts secondary's also banged up. Try to expose them on the outside, man. I mean, AJ, since he's been healthy, he's been playing great. Like, he's one of the best receivers in the league whenever he gets going. Another 100-yard game this past week, and it's the first time him and Julio have been out there for the entire game, I think.
Did you happen to note? Did you watch – were you watching Red Zone or did you watch the game?
I was just watching the game this weekend.
I respect the hustle, but Chipotle buying ads during the Tennessee Titan game, given what happened to A.J. Brown. Again, I respect the hustle. Maybe just wait that one out, sit that one out, put the money elsewhere, because I don't think Tennessee Titans fans need to be reminded of where he went to eat before getting sick. That said, in all fairness,
he did have a great game.
He's had two pretty good games back to back. I mean, the second half last week, he was really, really good, and then he came out to start the game against the Chiefs, and he looked A-OK.
It's one of those things to where what I'm happy about for the Titans, and I pray it continues, is that Ryan's really starting to be more efficient, like we saw the past season, and because he did struggle early on, but the line's doing a better job at protecting him. And we know that with the play action, teams have to respect Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And it's been opening the middle of the field. And they just run digs and slants for Julio and AJ. And both those guys, they're beasts. And once they get the ball, we know they can make anything happen. So it's been fun just to watch them kind of have some open space as of late. And just work in the middle of the field. The linebackers come up to try to stop Derrick Henry. Boom, play action. You got your stud receivers wide open over the top, and Titans have just been methodical. They've been playing solid the last couple of games, and I know it's weird, but I mean, you just knocked off last year's AFC Championship contenders back to back within 6 days. So now, again, you go on the road, it's going to be a hostile environment. Colts fans know, hey, for us to really get back in this series,
this will be a big one.
You have to win this because.
Well, and their playoff hopes for the season. I mean, this is a really big game given the standings right now. Like you said, like the Colts offense picked it up a little bit the last couple weeks. Their defense not nearly as good as I think everyone kind of projected them to be before the season started. But they figured a couple things out. They don't have any superstars on offense, but they just kind of methodically move the ball. Carson Wentz playing a lot better. I thought he handled the rain in San Fran, a little bit better than Jimmy G. Although Jimmy G wasn't that bad until that last throw that just completely slipped out of his hand. This is a stupid topic. I just want to ask you guys questions real quick. So Jimmy G opted to wear the glove in that game? Carson Wentz. I think they both wore double gloves, actually. Last night, neither Geno Smith nor Jameis Winston went with gloves. Strange? I mean, it was basically the exact same weather.
Yes. Strange.
Look up hand size for all four quarterbacks.
Okay.
Bigger the hands, the less the rain matters.
Yeah. Maybe it's easier to grip.
I feel like Carson Wentz has giant hands.
Yeah.
He very well could.
I could be wrong.
Still, though, last night, much different. They both weren't great conditions, but, I mean, Sunday night was not even comparable.
I don't even know Sunday night.
It looked like it was snowing whenever they would show John Lynch.
I don't know if it stopped raining at all. And, I mean, it was heavy rain on Sunday night. Last night, you're right, they did get some. But even at the start of the game when it was raining pretty good, neither of those quarterbacks went gloves.
But, yeah, I mean, Titans 5-2, Colts 3-4. Obviously, Colts can edge closer. They need the division win, but the Titans are in the midst of their, what I would say is their tough four-game stretch, and they beat their first two teams, so they get the Colts now, and then next Sunday they're playing the Rams in Inglewood on Sunday Night Football.
The Colts are?
No, the Titans are. Next weekend, Titans at Rams for Sunday Night
Football. Go to SoFi next Sunday night? That's a big one.
Yeah.
They don't get many Sunday Night Football games.
Huh?
Titans don't get many Sunday Night Football games.
No, I think they
get one a year.
I was going to say, yeah, about one a year.
But last year it was rough because that was that snow game in Green Bay. And it just.
That one did not go to the Titans.
They weren't ready.
Yeah.
But here's what you have after that. So, like, the Titans, I think they, like, kind of plotted out the rest of the schedules for all NFL teams. And whenever you look at strength of schedule, Titans had, like, the second easiest.
Overall or just remaining?
Remaining.
Okay.
Because. And this even factors in the Colts and the Rams. But after that, you play host to the Saints, you host the Texans, you go on the road to New England, you host the Jags, you go on the road to Pittsburgh, which it's not like it's not your daddy's.
And we'll see what they look like at that point. It's still a tough place to play.
And then they host the 49ers, who have been struggling. They host the Dolphins.
That's a win.
And then they go on the road to Houston for the final week of the year.
I mean, it feels like at worst you're, what, 5-3 in that stretch?
Should be.
At worst?
Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville once, Houston twice, that's three. The Dolphins, that's four. I mean, you can't win those.
I thought there was one more in there, too.
I mean, I would say they should beat the Saints. Like James.
That was the other one. That was the other one I said. And then I think it's a toss-up game at New England. That's just... Bill Belichick, although I think, you know, Mac Jones doesn't exactly scare me.
The Titans have done a really good job.
No, you're absolutely right.
Versus the Patriots. They had the one bad game where they went up there for the playoffs a couple of years ago, and that was after they beat the Chiefs. But that was malarkey's last season. But other than that, I mean, Mike Vrabel ended their dynasty.
I could be wrong. It feels like the Titans really might be about to pick it up offensively. I know you're not a big Taylor Lewan guy, but if you can get him back healthy.
No, he's still your best option.
No, I know, yeah.
I think Taylor's a good left tackle. He just needs
to not be an idiot.
Yes, he just does.
He got hurt
things.
Being an idiot.
It's like I would compare him to Jeremy Banks in the fact that you know he's your best option there.
Great teammate, great guy, does, you know, nice things in the community, but sometimes on the football field,
it's
just snaps.
Like, what the hell's
loses
wrong
it.
With you, man? Like this isn't something that is that hard to comprehend, but it's just there's that moment where it's a complete lapse in judgment and you cost your team.
I think the Titans offense might be really ready to kind of take flight here. You got AJ Brown now back, seemingly fully healthy. If he can get all the Chipotle badness out of his system, is he able to eat food now? Do we know?
I think so.
Okay, that's good. That's a good start. Julio Jones back healthy. You mentioned those two on the field.
We have 18 guys still on IR.
I know. I'm just saying offensively, though, you're getting those two guys back. I thought Reynolds has looked pretty good. Rodgers has looked pretty good. Obviously, Derrick Henry.
They love Nick Westbrook-Ikeem. And he's the undrafted free agent out of Indiana, and a lot of people are like, who are you talking about? And basically—
He's got more touchdown catches on the year than Julio Jones.
Well, Julio, he still needs to get that first, but
it's
coming. But, I mean, Westbrook-Ikeem is great in the run game. Like, he knows every single position at the receiver unit.
For blocking.
And he's one of those guys they just feel confident with, like— it might sound crazy, but I think they trust him to like make a play as much as they do anybody else when you look at their stars.
It's good to have those guys that are going to draw the, you know, third best defender when you need.
Well, he picked
third
up.
And seven.
He picked up. I think it was a huge the fourth down catch against Buffalo. I think he was the guy who caught that one.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's always good when you have that guy.
He knew they were in zone. He sat down in the perfect spot, wide open. Ryan put it right on the money and first down. Titans ultimately able to pull off the win.
I'm telling you, if the Titans can protect Tannehill, I think this passing game can really take off.
Yeah, I mean,
over the second half of the season.
Look at the last two games. He was sacked one time. Look at the outcome, and then look at the first five games where he was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Been sacked 22 times on the season thus far, but only once in the last two games. And it's amazing how the QBR, I mean, for example, right, against Kansas City, only sacked one time, obviously wasn't under pressure that much, QBR of 87.8.
It should be a lot higher because the interception.
I know that wasn't
counted.
His fault.
But, it was a rough in the passer penalty.
But then
too.
You look at the game against the Jets where he was somehow sacked seven times and the QBR was 36.7. So protect Tannehill, and I think the offense goes to
and
another level.
He didn't have Julio or AJ for the New York
game.
Yeah,
that's true.
And once they're out there, I mean, it's the defense having to pick their poison.
Absolutely. Quick break. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number two. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number two, 3 and Out, Fan Run Radio on this Optimism Tuesday. Davey, speaking of Optimism Tuesday, a lot of people are sending me some of the Pro Football Focus grades from the Alabama game.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. Do I need to save them until tomorrow?
I take it they're not good.
That, some good, some bad. How's that? How does that strike you?
Sounds par for the course, honestly.
Here, I'll do the bad first. We'll end with good since it's Optimism Tuesday. Offense or defense first? What do you think?
Defense.
Defense first. Bad. Who got picked on the most in this game on defense, do you think?
Aaron Beasley.
Aaron Beasley, yeah, right? I mean, he was... He obviously is playing a lot more with Juwan Mitchell out for the season. He got 81 snaps against Alabama. Boys, he graded out at a 29.4. That's a 29.4 to be listed as a replaceable player. You have to grade out at 60. I guess it's technically 59 or lower. So he is 30 spots lower than a replaceable player, 30 percentage points.
I'm trying to think if Kentucky has somebody that they could really use to attack.
If we allow him to cover Wandale Robinson, I will lose my mind.
Well, there's no reason that he should ever be on him. Like that. Well, okay, if he is,
he was on old Williams on the deep shot. Somehow, I don't know who drew that up. I don't know if that was a safety mistake or what. I thought he was supposed to cover him, you know, up the chute right there, kind of like Tampa 2 style. But, yeah, that didn't work out. So, Aaron Beasley, safe to say, guys, we could probably use a couple of linebackers in the transfer portal market. Speaking of that real quickly, Petway, a wide receiver from Missouri, announced yesterday he's entering the transfer portal. There's a pretty good offensive lineman from Wisconsin who has entered the transfer portal. I don't know if Heupel would have any connection from the guy at Missouri, Petway. He's been there for a while. In fact, I think maybe he was there for Heupel's last year, so maybe Heupel takes a look at him.
Florida just had a four-star cornerback decommit.
Oh, yeah?
A lot of VFLs on Twitter, you know, sending out the, hey, come to Rocky Top.
Please. Please do. I told you guys, my Florida buddy, diehard Gator, graduate, says he is absolutely predicting that Josh Heupel and Tennessee cut the head off the Dan Mullen snake next year in Knoxville early in the season. Says that's a game Tennessee's going to win, and that'll end the Dan Mullen stint.
That's kind of like how Kentucky is for us. Like, if their coach loses to us, their coach gets fired. If we lose to Kentucky, our coach typically gets fired.
I'm trying to think. McElwain beat us in 2017, but he had lost to us the year before. They were awful that year. He got fired.
They should have lost to us in 2017.
No, I know. Yeah, the Hail Mary.
Okay, like, this is not optimistic, but I'm giving it now.
If it takes a Hail Mary with no time remaining, you basically lost to Tennessee. You're going to get fired.
Did you know that game in 2017 was the last time Tennessee has been within 20 points to Florida, Georgia, or Alabama?
Yes, you bring that up like all the time. Of course I know that. You love that.
I know. I thought we were going to buck the trend.
Saturday night?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't help when your starting linebacker grades out at a 29.4. Safety, Trayvon Flowers, not a great night for him either. He had a 39.3. He's listed at D end. I thought he played a little bit inside too. But the Southern Cal transfer, Caleb Tremblay, a 46.5. Safety, Jalen McCullough, a 47.4. He got 93 snaps. Also, I realized we had a couple three and outs. How did Bama have so many more plays than we did? I mean, I guess they had long sense. They had long drives and kind of nickeled and dimed.
But still, we had a couple of just big time plays.
Yeah, that's true. And they weren't going fast, but man, they just had a ton of plays.
It was three and out or touchdown, basically off of like
two play touchdown drive, something like that.
Yeah. Jeremy Banks graded out a 56.2. He got 78 snaps. That's a lot for him. Tyler Barron, 57.8. We are now entering the land of the 60-plus, which is a backup-level player. Jaquan Blakely, defensive end, 61.5. Danico Slaughter, who I thought played a little bit better than this, but he was a 61.5. Alante Taylor, a 62 even. Latrell Bumpus, 62.7. Not surprising that basically your entire defensive line is in your top five of highest graded players. Bumpus, 62.7. Roman Harrison, who got banged up a little bit. I hope he's okay. 64 flat. Byron Young, going to be a stud, I think. All the hype in the preseason, maybe it was a little bit early. He does look like he's going to be a fine player. He was a 74.0. Matthew Butler, shouts out, Crown Cleaners, 77. And your highest graded defensive player, the Auburn transfer, Kamal Haddon.
He caused that fumble. 78.7.
Someone said yesterday, I guess I just didn't see the angle. I thought the guy just banged it off his knee. Did Haddon punch it out from behind?
Yeah,
okay.
He came in.
I must have not had a good angle. Real quickly, we'll do the offense. This is an issue. Three offensive linemen at the bottom of the list. Javontez Spragans, 47.2. Cooper Mays, 51.2. Darnell
Wright.
He
probably doesn't want you to get it right, actually.
Yeah, after that.
Yeah.
What did McElroy call him? Sproggins? Sproggins? Darnell Wright, 51.7. Princeton Fant, 54.9. Tyon Evans, a 55.4. Got banged up again. Should we have played him? Probably should have rested. I mean, it's an ankle. I don't know.
It didn't make the difference.
It really was pointless for him to be out there. Jacob Warren, 55.6. Same for Jalen Hyatt. Jabari Small did grade out a little bit better than Evans at a 58.5. Valus Jones with the touchdown, 58.6. Dane Davis, who I thought was pretty bad against Ole Miss, 60.8. Not that that's great, but it is your second best offensive lineman behind Jerome Carvin. And then your top three were Javonte Payton, 62.2. He is the king of having one catch for a touchdown. That's pretty much what he does. And it's always a big play. It's never something, you know, simple. He catches a deep ball for a touchdown. Hendon Hooker, 68.3, 53 plays.
Is Tillman your highest graded player?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Shouts out to Hooker, though. Didn't think we'd see him against Bama. I was hoping he could get back for Kentucky. I thought he played pretty well. Clearly didn't have the burst with the, they call that a bone bruise on his knee? Is that what the official diagnosis was, just a bone bruise?
I think so, And if that was the official diagnosis, those things do not feel good whatsoever. So
especially initially. I've actually heard that a bone bruise in the knee initially can hurt a lot worse than an ACL or something like that. And yes, Davey, Cedric Tillman, a 73.2. He got 52 snaps. He had to have gone over 100 yards in that game, right? Didn't he have...
He had four for...
130-something? Does that sound right?
Something along those lines.
I know they've said they've wanted to get him more involved, especially after the first few games when he would be wide open and no one could get him the football. But yeah, they're targeting him more. Surprised he's that good at getting open deep.
He had 7 catches, 152 yards, 1 touchdown.
7 catches? They've started to give him a lot of that short stuff because he can turn it and get 3 yards if you hit him behind the line. I thought that's been a pretty good play for him. And then, obviously, he's getting open deep. Don't know how, but it works. We'll kick off hour number 3 after this. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio.